The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we have been going through the theme of living the pure life, or living the life that Islam has envisioned us to live, we got to a point yesterday where we looked at the topic of community building. We want to move on from that point of last night and go on to our next discussion this evening. If you look at Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 155, 156, and 157, we find the secret of life and the secret of how to deal with challenges that we will come across. What does Allah say in verse 155? Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلُنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ وَالنَّقْصِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. He says, most certainly, without a doubt, we will test you. A bala, in this instance of the Quran, it means a test. It means an examination from Allah. We are being put under examination every single moment of our lives, brothers and sisters. You know, some people think that when I become a mu'min, when I say I believe, that things are smooth sailing, you know, that no problems will happen, I'm just running on autopilot. But actually Allah tells us, Surah Al-Ankabut tells us, Allah says that, do you people think that they should be left alone saying, I believe, amanna, wahum la yuftanun, and they would not be tested? So actually the challenges come when you become a Muslim. When you become a believer, that is when the challenges appear in life. Not because God hates us, not because He doesn't want to see us progress and make us, you know, make us or get to a better stage. No, but because through examination we become better people. Why do our children go to school and get examinations? Why do the teachers give them exams? Sometimes you'll walk into class on a Monday morning and they'll say, there's a pop quiz, right? They'll test them on the spot, not because the teacher hates the kids. No, he wants to make sure that they know the material, that they have been studying, be doing, you know, their due diligence throughout the academic year, to get them to see how strong they are. The teacher usually knows his or her students, right? When you're a teacher in madrasa or in a public school like the school that the Al-Mustafa runs, when you're a teacher and you have your students for the first few months, you can kind of gauge who's going to pass with what mark based on their abilities throughout the academic year. So the examination is more for the student to see where they are at so they can grade themselves. You know, Allah tells us in another verse of the Quran, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. Allah says, but the human being, we know ourselves better. We know ourselves better than other people, even though we try to put up excuses, right? So when Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, we will test you with something of fear and of hunger, and a loss in your life and in your wealth and in the things that mean the most to you. He's saying, I'm going to test you, but I'm testing you because I want to see how committed you are to the cause. How much stamina and spiritual strength do you have to battle the challenges that you will come across? Is your iman simply lip service to God, or does it have a rooting in the heart? And then God says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. When you go through challenges, COVID is, was, will be a challenge. Will we ever get back to whatever normal is? You know, people don't know. But whatever happens, God says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the people of patience, of sabr. And here, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that sabr, which is normally incorrectly translated as patience. And I say incorrectly because if you look at patience as a word, it's generally a very passive action, right? You go to the doctor's office, they tell you, take a number, have a seat, and wait your turn. Be patient. You can't really do anything to speed up your appointment with the doctor. But sabr, fortitude in Islam, is where you actually recognize your goal and you work to get to that goal. You don't just give up. You don't just say, well, COVID has struck, our centers have shut, so I'm just going to sit back and wait until the masjid opens up again, and then I will reignite my Islam. No, Allah says you have sabr, you keep working towards the goal. And then he says in the next verse, 156, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We've all memorized that passage, I'm sure. Every time somebody dies, we get a WhatsApp, and that's the very first line of it. Allah says that when a difficulty befalls them, not only death, but COVID hit, we'll lose a job, we'll lose a child, we'll have an accident, something bad will happen in our lives, we're expected to not only say the words, Inna lillah, that we all are the possession or property of God, and we all go back to Him. But just as with Tawheed that we talked about on the second night, we need to internalize this. We recognize that Allah can do whatever He wants to do. We are the property of God, right? We can't question God. We have no right to say to God, why did you bring about COVID? You know, why did you do this? Why did this natural disaster happen? But the goal is that we recognize that we are His property, that we have come from Him, that He has given us existence, and we have to go back. We have to face difficulties. Our faith has to be tested. And then the third verse is as interesting or as equally relevant to this discussion as the first two, where Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. Allah says that when you go through these adversities in life, and we will all go through them, and we have that sabr, that fortitude, that perseverance, we recognize that we are the property of God and that He will do with us as He pleases, but we have the fortitude to bear the difficulties, to recognize the goal of life and work towards it. He says something very interesting. He says, it is upon these people that God sends His salawat. Right? Now, if you remember your ayat of the Quran, there's one other time in the Quran when Allah sends salawat. And that's in chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, where He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. That indeed Allah and His angels send salawat on the Prophet. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where God orders us to send salawat on the Prophet. After Allah says He sends salawat on us, He sends His calmness, His tranquility, the rahmah, the mercy of God. At that time it's on the Prophet He sends it. But here in verse 155, 156, and 157 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says that you and I as believers, we're nowhere close to being at the level of Rasulullah. We're nowhere close to being near the level of spirituality of the Ahlul Bayt or the level of isma, of infallibility and protection they have been given. But yet God says when you work in this world and you deal with adversity, you are deserving of having the salawat of Allah, the blessings of Allah, the care and love and concern of Allah. Now, as I said, that doesn't mean that you and I won't go through tragedies. We will still face adversity.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Sh. غفور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.